Recent headlines suggest federal agencies don't always look so kindly on whistleblowers in their ranks. Most recently, the Veterans Affairs Department stands accused of tamping down dissent over mismanagement of its health care system. But an award ceremony at the State Department today is honoring some federal employees for sticking out their necks and challenging their leaders. The American Foreign Service Association is giving four career diplomats what they call the Constructive Dissent Award. Ambassador Jonathan Adelton, currently regional USAID mission director for the Central Asian Republics, is one of those honorees, and he joins us now. Jonathan, good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
So tell us about the cable you wrote that led to your being nominated for sticking your neck out.
Well, thank you. This came about last year. I should say it's less of a whistleblower as a dissent in terms of policy, but this was I was in Kandahar last year, which of course was a tough assignment in many ways, but reaching out to the civilian population there. I've always been interested in outreach, and this was a particular op-ed I wrote for the Pashto press, for the local press, and just very briefly, it was sort of drawing some parallels between Malala of Maywan, the young Pakistani girl who was almost killed for supporting female education, and the person she was named after, which was someone who, in the 19th century in Kandahar, someone called Malala of Maywan, after whom health centers and schools and everything else are named in Afghanistan. It was just an interesting story, trying to draw the connection. I wrote the op-ed. I thought most of our team thought it would be a great way to have outreach, and for some reason that thing didn't go forward. That basically was a platform for some larger reflections on outreach and concerns over time about the clearance process, about how these things are done, and basically the need to reach out much more than we're able to do over many years. And I think it was that accumulation of things prompted by that particular instance, which led to this cable.
And what did you say in the cable, and who did you direct it to?
I recall that Secretary Kerry a couple months earlier had addressed in a video conference the embassy in Kabul and had stressed the importance of both outreach and being candid. And this seemed to fit within that. It actually happened maybe 3 months earlier, but it was that challenge, if you will, that prompted me. I knew about the dissent channel that State Department has had for many years, since the late 60s. And, officers are able to access that and to have a direct line to the secretary's office, which in that case, because I guess I did feel strongly about it, I evoked and wrote that cable, basically, again, using that particular instance as the platform for a larger discussion about how we ought to be able to do better on the outreach and information front.
And when you wrote that, did it feel like you were taking a risk at that point, or did it just seem like the natural thing to do?
Well, I've been 30 years in the Foreign Service, and I was aware of the dissent channel. I'd never evoked it myself, had heard of some instances about it. Actually, the most celebrated case goes back to 1970 when our CG in Dhaka wrote what's called the Blood Telegram. His name was Archer Blood, and, he had dissented, and that's a case that people are aware of. So I knew about it. I should also say, Kandahar, people say about risk. In a bureaucratic sense, those risks were pretty small compared to, an assignment in southern Afghanistan. It was, again, I was aware of the process, and for the first time in my career, I evoked it and wrote that dissent cable.
And then what happened?
Well, one of the things that which is interesting, and this is sponsored by the American Foreign Service Association, and it's sort of a well-known channel, and I guess it was worked out those many years ago that this should be the way that it unfolds, and so it's basically the Secretary's office is obliged to look at it, the policy people look at it, and you do get a response. And some weeks later, I did get a response, which provided a larger perspective on it, but also, indicated that some of the things I had said had been taken seriously. And I think especially the local angle, this thing was squashed for, thousands of miles away, I guess, back in Washington, or I think some regional embassies were involved as well. But basically, I think that they did recognize that local aspect, that our opportunity to engage in Pashto, in the Pashto media, was an aspect of this that was important.
We're speaking with Ambassador Jonathan Adelton. He's the regional USAID mission director for the Central Asian Republics. And so, by the way, where are you based right at the moment?
I'm actually in Washington very briefly, as you mentioned, to accept this award. But I am based in Almaty, Kazakhstan right now.
All right. So in writing this through this channel, as you say, that's been around a long time, the Dissent Channel, and now getting this award, is it kind of – maintain, restore, or boost your faith in what the government is capable of doing and how it's capable of treating people?
Yeah, I mean, this is, I guess, is a way in which the process worked in the sense that, you know, I was aware that there was a mechanism. I hadn't done it myself. I mean, I think all of us want to be team players, and that was certainly the case here. But this did reflect this accumulated frustration and did write in. I guess the most heartening aspect was simply the support I've gotten from colleagues around the world.
Tell us a little bit about what they've said.
Well, you know, this, you know, because EFSA, you know, highlights it or gets it around to people in the Foreign Service, I mean, basically when it was announced, it was the kind of thing about, oh, we share your frustration, we know what you're talking about, thank you for speaking out. Yes, when it comes to outreach, it's just frustrating. I mean, another example I actually cited in the cable, it wasn't just about that one story, but last year I wrote a book, and this was in Mongolia where I was serving. And, you know, the process required 32 clearances. And as I said, and I repeat this line quite often, is it shouldn't take longer to, well, you know, the process of it's just a sort of not very good when it takes longer to get a clearance than it does to write a book or translate a book. And 32 clearances is a bit much. I mean, this thing dragged on for so long. And so it's, again, although this particular instance in Kandahar prompted it, it reflected something that colleagues have shared, is that the process often takes too long. The results are sometimes less than satisfying. And there's a third sort of subtext here, is that sometimes I think we are too reticent to challenge extreme narratives, extremely, you know, radical Islamist narratives about, you know, that come with a lot of violence. And I don't know if this is element of that or not, but I just felt like it needed, this was a story that needed to be told. It needed to be understood in southern Afghanistan. Ironically, by the way, is 1 year later, after this thing was written, a writer called William Dalrymple had a op-ed in the New York Times, which told the same story about the links between Malala of Swat and Malala of Maywand. And, you know, there was Foreign Service officers in the field that, you know, a year earlier were drawing that link and evoking its importance. So I think it was a missed opportunity, and that's what I tried to highlight.
Have you noticed any sort of changes, though, in the State Department since you wrote the cable? I mean, do you think that it actually got those higher-ups in Washington thinking and changing their attitudes?
I think, I mean, this is one that is hard because they're hard decisions that have to be made reflecting lots of different things. But I think that highlighting the issue, and especially the length of time for clearances and the substance, too, I think I think it does get people's attention. Frankly, I think one of the reasons I'm so appreciative of this award is that I think it, again, highlights the attention. You know, this is an important issue, this issue of reaching out on serious matters. And I'm hoping that additional, you know, attention that it's getting through this process, too, you know, will help become the catalyst for continuing discussion. I think it's had some, you know, impact in terms of people stepping back and thinking, well, maybe there's a different way to do it. I understand that there is, to some extent, to review the process. But, again, these things have been around for a long time. And I think the whole question going forward is one of balance. And I thought it was out of balance. And I'm hoping to get it back to – I'm hoping that this small contribution, along with others, gets it back to a better balance.
Now, we don't get too many career ambassadors on the show somehow from day to day. So you must have an interesting background. In fact, we know you do. Just give us the brief story of that, including your newspaper career.
Well, I guess it goes way back, but I was originally interested in journalism, born and raised in Pakistan, had this very strong desire, to go into journalism. And I think, but also interested in international affairs. And over time, I guess, in my particular case, thought I wanted to, I guess, be directly engaged rather than write about it. And that kind of caused a shift more toward the economic development side. Most of my career has been spent as a USAID Foreign Service officer, although I've had two details for the State Department, once as ambassador to Mongolia for 3 years, and then more recently that 1 year as a senior civilian representative in Kandahar, which was also a State Department assignment.
And when you come back to Washington, what strikes you the most? I'm just thinking that people like yourself who have spent most of your life or much of your life abroad, there's got to be some sort of disconnect when you realize people here in Washington are planning policies that affect directly what you do and the places where you work.
Well, I guess, I mean, this particular dissent, I guess, did highlight that gulf, if you will, between decisions made far away and in the field. But at the same time, I do want to acknowledge and affirm that I accept very much the policy process. I personally, I guess, have spent my entire career in the field, and that's what I thrive on and enjoy. But I also respect very much what happens in Washington. And, you know, again, it's that question of balance. I do think sometimes in my career that balance has gone too much, you know, toward the policy process. I guess my view is always that, you know, field reality needs to inform the policy process, and conversely, the what works out in the field has to be mindful and supportive of that policy process as well. So it works in tandem, and, you know, again, my little bit has been more in the field, but I certainly respect the Washington policy process as well. I just think that balance has to be maintained in a good way.
Ambassador Jonathan Adelton is the Regional USAID Mission Director for the Central Asian Republics, and he's based in Almaty, Kazakhstan. Jonathan, it's been a pleasure. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.